open. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you will equip us from your word so that we can do every good work that you would have us to do. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Bible is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, so we believers declare. For many of us, though, the Bible is not alive. It has long since passed away. It is a fossil. Instead of bringing forth life, it at least brings on slumber, if not death. To many, the Bible reeks of nothing but irrelevance, and even to those who sit in the pews each week, the sermon can become the time to take a little snooze or surreptitiously to read the weekly news. But of course, that would never happen here. But my point this morning is that the Bible is alive. That it is, to quote the title of a book by John Stott, it is the book for today. So my first question this morning is this: why bother with the Bible? Well, firstly, it is the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Paul is writing to Timothy and says, all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is the words coming from the mouth of God. And when you read the words of scripture, you are reading the words of God. Do not forget that. The scriptures are God's message to his world. Whether you're reading the book of Leviticus or the book of Romans, it is the word of God. But what is the all scripture that Paul mentions? Well, it was the sacred writings that he had at the time and his writings as well. Nowhere does Paul explicitly refer to his writings as scripture, but he gets close. For instance, he directs that his letters be read in the churches in Colossians 4:16. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, Peter refers to Paul's writings as scripture. He says this: he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So we don't make a distinction between the Gospels and then the epistles, on the other hand, as if one's better than the other. No, we shouldn't need to have the words of Jesus in red letter as if somehow they're more important than the others. No, all of the writings are the scriptures. So firstly, the Bible is the word of God. Secondly, it is the word of God about salvation. The message of the Bible is a message about salvation. So in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writes to Timothy, how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Doesn't finish there. Make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. They tell you the way to be saved. They tell you the way to avoid eternal damnation. The salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And so the message of the Bible is the message about Jesus and the salvation that God brings through him. So we always must ask ourselves, what is this teaching us about Jesus? What is it teaching us about God? Where is God in the text? It's not about us and our felt needs primarily. Although as we understand God and Jesus correctly, it tells us how to live and how to do every good work. So the Bible is the word of God. It is the word of God about salvation. And thirdly, it is useful. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. It is useful precisely because it is the word of God, a word about Jesus. So you can't say you believe the Bible and you don't believe Jesus. And of course, the voice that we listen to in essence is the voice of Jesus himself. Remember Hebrews 1? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. and at the transfiguration, as outlined in Mark. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. This is the voice that we are to listen to. There are many competing voices, but we must listen to Jesus. The scriptures are useful, and now fourthly, they are useful for what? Well, it's listed there for us. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Isn't this a wonderful thing? The Bible has transforming power. It can shape our lives and our minds to give us a correct view of the world, which is so different from the secular and tells us the way that the God who made us wants us to live. It should shape our minds and it should shape our children's minds. That is why we have Sunday Kids. That is why we have Logos Youth Group. That is why we have other children's programs. But primarily, they're not the ones that are to do the training. It is the parents. So we read in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." Now, if you turn back with me to chapter 1, verse 5, you'll find out who he learned it from. Who was it? Grandmother and mum. His grandma and his mum. And so we see here the importance of teaching in the home. It's a marvellous privilege to be able to teach your children the things of God. Now, it is not easy. Sometimes you think when they get a bit older, it's easier, or when they're younger, it's easier because they're a captive audience. It's never easy, however old your kids are. And I struggle with that as a father. But we must know the responsibility and pray and set aside that time. You only have your little ones for a little time. Now is the time to teach them. Fifthly, bother with the Bible because it is trustworthy. Timothy is encouraged to have confidence in the Word of God because it can be trusted. But how do we know that? Because God's words are words of promise. That was the whole message, in essence, of the book of Joshua. And in a world where people's words are cheap and where we are constantly let down, we know that his words are true and his promises are sure. Think back to Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says this: "Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." Friends, if you want a definition of faith, then look no further than verse 21 of Romans 4. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. God fulfilled his promise to Abraham despite the appearance of being impossible. God does have the power to do what he has promised, and he does do it. He promised Abraham a child when he was 100 and something, and it came to pass. He promised the people a land, and he gave it. He promised judgment if they did not repent, and he brought about the exile. He promised a Saviour, and he came. And he promises to return, to come back for his own, and to judge those who have refused him. God is a God of promise. Do we believe the promises of God? To truly listen to the word of God, we must take on board the promise to Joshua, which is reiterated in the book of Hebrews. I will in no way fail you. I will in no way forsake you. Don't you want to hear the words of that God? Why bother with the Bible? It is the word of God. It is the word of God about salvation. It is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, and it is trustworthy. My second point is this: how to bother with the Bible. Firstly, I want to say much Bible reading isn't done because it is not planned to be done. God has given us all the time we need to do all the things we need, so plan to read the scriptures. Yes, we're all juggling a multitude of things to do. But like anything else worthwhile in life, we must plan to do it. Do we really believe that God has spoken? that God's words are recorded in Scripture, and that as we read them, we may hear God's voice addressing us, then against the rat race of the 21st century living, we will want to take time out to meditate on the Scriptures. And can I say, if you commit yourself to a group, well, that's going to get you there and looking at it to some degree, isn't it? So plan to read the Scriptures. My second point is just a suggestion, take it or leave it, as you see fit. But what I want to suggest, perhaps, as well, it's sort of what Paolo said earlier, buy an exercise book. And as you can, yes, take sermon notes, that's a great thing. But at home, you might be working your way through Mark's Gospel. Well, pray before you read. Read a portion of Scripture. Think on the Scriptures. Ask for God's Spirit to guide you. And then think, how does it apply to me? Is there a word of encouragement? A promise to hang on to? A sin to avoid? What does it teach about salvation? What does it teach about Jesus? Are there things I don't understand? And you can write down any questions you have and ask me next Sunday or your Christian friend. Toss it around with them when you have coffee during the week or bring it to your small group. And how to bother with the Bible? Well, thirdly, well, hey, this is where the rubber hits the road today at least. Join a small group. You have been hearing this morning of the benefits of being in a small group. There is the great benefit of encouragement and care for one another. But above all else, it will help you grow in your knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. To study the Scriptures with other believers is one of the great privileges of being a believer. Now, you may want a starters group, a group where you look at the very foundations of the Christian faith. That group can be offered. You may want an investigating Christianity group where you think, well, I'm not sure that I believe all this, but I want to look into it further. We can provide a group like that. And if you want those groups, come and speak to me. Maybe it's the correspondence course where you want to do some extra study and dive in a bit deeper. Well, that group is available as well. But whatever it is, join one. A church with high small group membership is a mature church and a growing church. We're aiming for 90% participation. That's the goal we've set ourselves. One way it doesn't matter. But can I say, by you this morning putting your name down to join a group, you are helping us to reach that goal and to answer that prayer. How good is that? And fourthly, study obediently. Remember the words of James. Do not be a hearer only, but be a doer. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Study of the Bible is not just for intellectual assent or to get your grey matter working and to think about issues of bigger issues of life. But it's for walking in its path. It's about being obedient. As Jesus said, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And fifthly, how to bother with the Bible? Continuously. All the time. Keep going. It's fabulous. Fiona's been in a group for 25 years. I hope she's in a group for another 25 years. Verse 14, continue in what you have learned. See, we never arrive. It's like riding a bike. You've got to keep pedaling. If you stop pedaling, you're going to fall off. Keep going in the Christian life. Bother with the Bible continuously. In 1540, yes, 1540, Archbishop Cranmer in England brought out the Great Bible. And he ordered it to be set up for public reading in every church in the country. It was a new thing. They weren't available before that in every church for public reading. And in the preface to this Bible, he wrote this. In the Scriptures be the fat pastures of the soul. Therein is no venomous meat, no unwholesome thing. They be the very dainty and pure feeding. He that is ignorant shall find there what he should learn. Herein may princes learn how to govern their subjects. Subjects, obedience to their princes. Husbands, how they should behave them unto their wives. How to educate their children. and the wives, children, and servants may know their duty to their husbands, parents, and masters. Here may all manner of persons, men, women, young, old, learned, unlearned, rich, poor, priests, laymen, lords, ladies, officers, tenants, and mean men, virgins, wives, lawyers, merchants, artificers, husbandmen, and all manner of persons, of what estate or condition soever they be, may in this book learn all the things, what they ought to believe, what they ought to do, and what they should not do, as well concerning Almighty God, as also concerning themselves and all other. See, the Bible recognised Cranmer was for all, not just for those who could read, not just for the priests and the ministers, not just for the learned, but for the guy out digging his paddock, other people going off to other places of work. It was for all, not just a select few. And that is why he commanded to have it read in all the churches. And that is why in the Anglican liturgy it is instructed that we have the scriptures read publicly. It is one of the high points of the service. And that is why our readers take time to prepare and to read well. It is a book about all of life, not just what we should believe, but how we should behave. It was to be read and to be obeyed. Friends, the scriptures are truly living and active. May we treat them as such, and may we be so reformed by them that the world sits up and takes notice. Amen. Well, Dennis is